Hey everybody, Kyle Klingman here of Track Wrestling for another edition of 7 Minutes. This week's guest is Coit Cooper, an All-American at Indiana, and now he's doing some great things. He's a best-selling author, he has his own website, he does motivational speaking and seminars, someone that certainly has an inside track on what it takes to be great. So excited to have this interview sponsored by CollegeWrestlerRecruiting.com, and had a chance to talk with the owner, operator, and creator of CollegeWrestlerRecruiting.com, Robbie Vincent. And this guy is cutting edge. This is a great website that athletes, parents need to learn about because there's so many options out there. And parents need to know what their kids are getting into. Now, the top 100 kids, they're going to be fine. They're going to be the guys that are going to be scouted out. College programs are going to know about them. But what do you know about the rest of the programs? What do you know about NAI? What do you know about Division II? Did you know that Division III is predominantly in the Midwest and on the East Coast? There's only one Division III program on the West Coast. What's the right fit for you? CollegeWrestlerRecruiting.com is the right fit for you and your family. This is a great way to learn about the sport, and it's the best way to get the right fit for your college athlete. Check out CollegeWrestlerRecruiting.com, and then also check out past episodes. There's been some great interviews, David Taylor, Dan Gable. There's been Victoria Anthony recently. You can check those out on TrackWrestling.com or go to the Matt Talk Online Podcast Network. Jason Bryant there does a fantastic job of getting interviews, and you can check out in both forms. You can get the podcast version of 7 Minutes, or you can get the transcribed version. Both are great, but we're thankful to Robbie Vincent and CollegeWrestlerRecruiting.com for sponsoring this great, great content. Let's get on with Coit Cooper on this edition of 7 Minutes. Hi, Coit. Are you ready to go 7 Minutes?
I'm ready to go 7 Minutes, man. Let's see what happens.
Question number one, if you could take what you know now and have a conversation with yourself at 15, what advice would you give yourself?
Man, that's a good question. You know, I think what I would tell myself is to just learn to love the process, you know, get clear on what you want with your goals and the outcomes of what you want, but just dive into the process and really focus on being extraordinary with your habits. Because if you're extraordinary with your habits and you're unbelievably consistent with those things, man, you can really do some awesome things. And so I'm proud of what I did when I was 15, but man, I would encourage myself to tighten up on my morning habits and the things that I would do with my mindset. And I think that would make even a bigger difference for me.
Let's go back to recruiting. When you were in high school, what do you remember about the process, and what were your top three schools, and why did you pick Indiana?
Yeah, no, I remember the process being, you know, obviously challenging in that you have a lot of different people contacting you, and you obviously don't want to disappoint people. But I just remember it was busy, but I enjoyed it. It was exciting to visit campuses, and I always had a goal of going out and being a wrestler at the college level. I remember the recruiting trips. They fed me a lot of food. I enjoyed that, but I probably gained some weight. But I think when it came down to it for me, I had an eye on one program, West Coast, Oregon State, just because I was on the West Coast. And then I had it narrowed down. I think really my top three schools would have probably been Indiana, Ohio State, and Illinois as well. And when it came down to it, the fit was really good at Indiana. And it's been an awesome, awesome journey for me there. I met my wife there, so it was good.
Let's say wrestling has one governing body and you're the president. What would you want to change?
Well, what would I want to change? Gosh, that's a tough question. I think, you know, just I'm not as involved as a lot of people in it right now, but I think just the ability to change, tighten up on all the rules and try to get them in one spot where everything is fairly consistent from bottom up. And I know that that requires some changes in the rules and stuff like that, but I think a consistent product, a product that is very, very simplified for people to understand. And then if I had magical powers, I would try to get all the other governing bodies to get along and work together. I think that would be awesome.
What is the greatest compliment someone could give Coit Cooper?
I just, you know, that I'm a guy who shows up and now adds crazy value to people's lives. If somebody came to me and said, man, you really helped change my life. That means a lot to me. And because what I do every day is I just try to help people live to their highest potential, to try to get out and just really crush it in the key areas of their lives. So when somebody comes back to me and says, man, I just want to thank you because you made a difference. I mean, I think that is the greatest compliment that anybody can get. And I think that's what we're designed to be doing as human beings.
I know you don't compete anymore, but let's go back to your competition days. What's the strangest thing that ever went through your head during a match?
Strangest thing that ever went through my mind. Maybe due to some of the weird stuff that some athletes would do, and I'm not even positive that it's appropriate to say on here, but I just think like going, why would somebody do some of the weird stuff that some athletes do? I always respected the athletes who handled it really well, who are classy, shook your hand. And it was always good. Like most of the people in college were that way, but man, every once in a while you'd run into people that would do some weird stuff, mentally, the stuff they would say to you, the stuff they would do to you. And I remember just the weirdest stuff was like, why would somebody be weird enough to do this in a match? So I can't remember anything beyond maybe that.
What is the most interesting thing about you that has nothing to do with wrestling?
Oh, okay. I'll give you a couple. I love growing bonsai trees. And so my son and I, we go out and we'll dig up trees. That's legally, we'll dig up trees in our yard and stuff. And we grow bonsais. Another thing that's really interesting that people seem to enjoy, I was born in Alaska and my mom, we're Alaskan native, and she had 19 brothers and sisters and adopted 4 more. So I literally have at least 100 cousins in Alaska. So people usually find that pretty fascinating.
Have you been to Alaska?
Born in Anchorage. Yes. My dad was a commercial fisherman for 25 years. So from the time I was 4 to like 12, before I got real, real serious in wrestling, I used to fish every summer up in Kodiak Island. And then I went up for talks and stuff in different areas of Alaska as well.
If you could go back and wrestle anybody from any era, who would you want to compete against and why?
Oh man, you're coming strong. I wish I would have known. Let me think about this. I guess one of the simplest ones is just a guy that probably everybody admired around my era is just Cale Sanderson. Not because I think I would have any shot, but because I just to see what that's like. I mean, he was just so technical, so fluid. I'd like to maybe experience that and just to get my butt whooped. I think just to know that. But I asked one of my teammates, Victor Sfida, who wrestled him. Victor was really good, like 3-time All-American. And I said, what was it like to wrestle Cale? Super strong. He says, no, he wasn't super strong. He felt like he was everywhere at one time. And I don't know if I've ever wrestled anybody that would feel like they're everywhere at one time. That sounds interesting to me. So maybe that would be cool.
Do you have a match that you would want to go back and re-wrestle?
Yeah. No, I don't have any regrets. I tell people that. But if I could go back and wrestle a match, quarterfinals, my senior year, I was number 8 seed, wrestling number 1 seed, Scott Moore. And the only thing I would do is I would cut loose, not hold back, blast doubles, go for it, go for the pin. I held back a little bit, and I look back on that and wish I wouldn't have. I mean, I think you build up some certain fears and stuff like that. And if I could go back, I would just go all out and lay it out. And if I lost, I lost, cool, but I would just want to lay it on the mat.
Do you have a turning point in your life to where you are today?
Oh, no doubt. I've had multiple turning points. I think not even winning a national title hurt me a lot, but it led me to becoming a college professor. I got a second turning point in college. I had a girlfriend at the time who hooked up with a good friend that was a turning point to my wife. And maybe the biggest one recently, getting denied tenure at UNC, man, I lost my job. That was hard, but man, it led me to this unbelievable place where I'm pursuing my dream, and I love every part of my life right now. And so that's it. I mean, to me, it's these points of failure that look really, really rotten at the moment, but that because I got up and I look for the lesson, they become unbelievable turning points. So I encourage anybody listening, when you think you're failing, sometimes you're not. You just have to look for the gift and look for the lesson. If you do that, my philosophy is I think life will bring you some pretty amazing things.
We always add a bonus question. Your bonus question is, of course, you're a motivational speaker. What have you learned about human nature that applies to everyone?
Well, I've learned that pretty much everybody on the planet has two things that they deal with that hold them up, and it's fear and self-doubt. And it's not, people say, oh, not everybody. No, it's everybody. Everybody at some point has fears that holds them up. Everybody has self-doubts. And the coolest thing I've learned is that you can, if you're willing to do the work mentally, you can let go of those things and start to become the person you're supposed to become. And man, it's so cool when you do that. I mean, your energy goes up, your productivity goes up, and you just start living at a level that you just didn't even know was possible. So man, that's what I want to do with people is get rid of those things so people can just free up and go do their thing.
What's your biggest fear?
You know, I've gotten rid of most of them in terms of in the last few months. I used to have a fear of just failing. You know what I mean? I used to have a fear of, you know, falling short. But if I have any left, it's, you know, I've basically taken a pretty massive risk. When I walked away from academia, I literally had no speaking jobs, no coaching jobs, no anything. And so I've gone out and I've pursued that, and it's starting to go really well. But if I have anything, maybe there's some hesitancy around, gosh, I need to feed my kids. I need to be able to take care of my family. And so every once in a while you pause and think about that. But I meditate every day. I go through a morning routine. I really go and seek out my fears, and I pull them up and I face them and I make the decision to release them. I go through a process to free up to where I'm not operating with any fear. I don't need any fear. I just want to operate with love, energy, and just go out and impact lives.
Coit, this has been a great interview. Thanks for going 7 minutes with us. We hope to have you back on again.
Yeah, I'd love it, man. Thanks so much for your time. This is awesome.
Thanks, Coit.